Sharing is good. How to save money, time and resources through collaborative consumption. Author Beth Buczynski. Sharing has a history. Sharing isn't complicated. It means giving others access to what we have so that they can fill a need. It turns out that sharing is deeply intertwined with successful evolution. Lots of animals cooperate to share resources, work and relationships. We too are programmed to share, but as a society, we've worked hard to forget it. Despite the modern normalisation of selfish behaviours, our natural inclination for sharing has endured in not so obvious ways. You're already familiar with the benefits of shared resources. New technologies and cultural networks now allow us to share in ways and on a scale that has never been possible before. These new mechanisms eliminate many of the inefficiencies that caused ancient cultures to move away from sharing as a way of life. Why we don't share. Sharing sounds so simple, even childish. In fact, it's when we were still toddling around that most of us got our first life lesson about sharing. But that doesn't mean it was an easy one to learn. Kids are perfect examples of human nature unbridled. As we get older, the concept of sharing becomes more complicated. We start to see differences in value and understand the effort required to have nice things. We make exceptions for our selfishness, although we don't call it that. We see sharing as cheating by those who don't work as hard as we do. Eventually, we start to view sharing as a silly thing that might be a nice idea for kids, but not for us. We see how easily it is to go out and buy what we need and forget that there are other ways to live. Now we're seeing the terrible damage that mindless consumption does to our planet, our economy, and our quality of life. Here are a few compelling reasons why we don't share. Time. I'm so busy. Anything that might take a moment of extra effort is completely out of the question. It's not that we don't have enough time, it's just that we're not using time efficiently. Safety. Humans are hardwired for survival, so we take every precaution to protect our health and safety. We like driving our own cars and buying brand new things because it means we're in control of the situation and we know what to expect. Stepping outside this familiar framework makes us feel uncomfortable. Staying at someone else's house instead of booking a hotel room means we might have to wait for the bathroom or fix our own breakfast. Money. Faced with the prospect of having to spend or raise money in order to participate in or organise a sharing community, some might decide it's just not worth the expense. What these people are forgetting is that money isn't the only way to measure something's value. Sharing experiences are incredibly valuable in ways that can't be measured in dollars and cents. Trust. It might be a little cynical, but most of us just don't like the idea of other people touching our stuff. The best way to deal with a lack of trust is to be trustworthy yourself. We can only expect from others what we're willing to do ourselves. Why share now? Civilization has changed over the last couple of centuries. We see that there are more of us than ever before, and the population is growing exponentially. Consequently, we're consuming more than ever before, and the waste from this excessive consumption has nowhere to go, and as a result, it's poisoning our planet. Through collaborative consumption, we can increase pride in our communities and foster participation in the way we're governed. We can reduce consumption by focusing on access instead of ownership. We can take a bite out of energy consumption. Peer-to-peer sharing. Informal, local collaborative consumption is often called peer-to-peer sharing, P2P. In P2P sharing schemes, the shared resource is usually exchanged during a direct encounter with another person or group of people. This is different from collaborative consumption. Businesses like co-working where the thing that's shared is owned by a single person or a part of a managed fleet owned by a business entity. P2P sharing can also mean that people pool their resources together to create something that can then be shared with the larger community. Attributes of a successful sharer. To be a good citizen of the sharing economy, you must have an adventurous spirit and be willing to blaze a new and wonderful trail. Part of developing an adventurous spirit means learning to be flexible. The most successful sharers are those who aren't afraid to be early adopters. They are willing to explore new ways of doing things and share those experiences with the rest of the community. Successful sharers have to be willing to experiment, to try even though it might deliver lackluster results or even failure. Don't share something you wouldn't want to borrow. Goods. Sharing goods is an easy introduction to collaborative consumption because we're already familiar with a similar concept, donating. Because sharing allows us to extend the life of an item, it's important to choose a style of sharing that will allow that life cycle to go on as long as possible. Ideally, we should try to put it in the hands of someone who needs it and will use it immediately. This is most easily accomplished by swapping. Skills and time. When people share their time, new skills are learned, new connections forged, and self-sufficiency gained. We start to appreciate skills that were forgotten when we started buying things instead of making or repairing them. You don't have to be an expert to teach what you know, and no skill is too small or insignificant to share with others. Time banks allow members to turn hours into equity that can then be used to trade for things or services. Sharing your time helps people save money, eliminate multiple car trips, and support the local economy. Co-housing or co-living. If you love the idea of shared housing and want to take full advantage of its economical and sustainable benefits, co-housing or co-living might be concepts to consider. In co-housing communities, people live in separate quarters but share common areas, as well as decision-making and maintenance tasks. Neighbours know each other very well, and they often create micro-sharing economies amongst themselves. Co-living, having one or more roommates, is a similar concept that expanding beyond the ranks of college students in tough economic times. Space. Space is a beautiful example of how we can enrich the community and reduce our collective impact on the environment without swapping a single thing. Most entrepreneurs or organisations can't afford to buy or lease the space that they need, but co-working can provide an alternative. Solo entrepreneurs and freelancers can utilise co-working spaces not only to have a more professional space in which to work and meet with clients, but also to connect and collaborate with their peers in a hyper-local manner. Co-working is a term used to describe a flexible and community-oriented workspace that welcomes business travellers, independent workers, and entrepreneurs of all shapes and sizes. The new sharing economy. Collaborative consumption is a new twist on an old idea. It's a reimagining of old solutions tweaked to keep up with the size and speed of our current society. It leverages our fascination with social networking to minimise waste and maximise access. Sharing allows us to create a new definition of value, not based on currency, but on how much a thing, action, or person enriches our lives, and it gives us the opportunity to enrich someone else's in return. So this is about more than just swapping your old clothes for new ones or joining a car sharing service. It's about catalysing a total paradigm shift in how we produce, consume, and govern.